Welcome to Under New Management, a podcast of the Organizational Behavior Division of the Academy of Management. I'm Mike Johnson, an assistant professor of management and organization at the University of Washington Business School in Seattle. In this podcast, we feature interviews with the authors of new and notable research in the field of organizational behavior. Often, these studies have counterintuitive findings that challenge the conventional wisdom about how to manage people. As we discuss the implications of their studies for organizations, we'll highlight how their research can enhance your effectiveness as a manager. This is part one of a two-part conversation with Terry Mitchell about the problem of turnover in organizations. In this episode, Terry talks about the unfolding model of turnover. Today, we have with us Terry Mitchell. Terry Mitchell is the Edward E. Carlson Distinguished Professor of Business Administration at the University of Washington Business School in Seattle. Terry, thanks for being on the podcast.
Glad to be here, Mike.
Well, Terry, today we're going to talk about turnover. And most people know that turnover can be a major problem in organizations. When people leave, it's very costly to get people to take their place. Is this a problem that's being studied in the research literature?
It certainly is, Mike. The study of it has been going on for a good 50 to 60 years, and hundreds of studies have been done. Certainly in the last 20 years, we've seen a refocus on the topic, mostly because organizations are very concerned about keeping their best and their brightest, as you said, and the competition for talent is extensive. So this is an area that empirical researchers have looked at, and we've learned a lot along the way.
Well, that's great. And your research in recent years has kind of taken you to two different areas. One, what you call the unfolding model, deals with why people leave organizations. And second, job embeddedness deals with why people stay in organizations. So how about if we talk about the unfolding model first? Can you tell us kind of conceptually what the unfolding model is?
Yeah, I'll give you all of this research was done collaboratively with Tom Lee, who is also a professor here at the University of Washington. And Tom and I started in the early 90s talking about turnover research, which had been dominated by one major model, which was that job satisfaction was the major predictor of why people left. And if you got people satisfied with their jobs, they wouldn't leave. And we thought about that for a while, and the research showed that, you know, that really didn't predict very well. The relationships were not very strong in predicting turnover. And we started talking to people about why they left their jobs and what circumstances led them to think about leaving. And what evolved was a much more complex picture than a relatively simple model which said, I get dissatisfied, I look for alternatives, I find one, I compare it to my job that I have now, and then I leave, which was the, as I say, the dominant model. And what we found was that people had multiple paths that they used to leave. And by paths, we simply meant that some people left thinking about one set of things, and perhaps some other people left for other kinds of reasons. And we were eventually able to sort of simplify all these explanations to four basic paths. And one path was the traditional path. So we did get people who said, yes, I'm not happy with my job, and so I looked around and I found an alternative and I compared it to my current job and it was better, and so I left. And that's the traditional approach to why people leave. But the other, at least two of the other paths, were driven by what we called a shock. That is, some event occurred on the job that initiated people thinking about leaving.
So, like, what sort of event is considered to be a shock?
Well, we had different kinds of shocks. So let me try to describe that as best I can. The kind of events could be positive, they could be negative, they could be expected, they could be unexpected, they could be in the organization, they could be outside the organization. So some examples might be getting passed over for promotion, finding out that your spouse has gotten relocated to Miami, going home and finding out that your spouse or you are pregnant, getting accepted in graduate school, getting an alternative job offer, having a fight with your boss, having a fight with your coworker. So there were a large number of different kinds of events that people cited, but what was clear was that they said, this thing happened, that made me start to think about leaving, and that was the initiating event. And in many cases, these were not people who were dissatisfied with their job. In fact, in many cases, the people were satisfied.
Mm. But because of whatever event it was, it made them kind of reconsider whether to stay or not in their job.
So that's correct. And then we were able to group these into these different paths. So one of the paths was simply situations where people already had kind of a plan in mind as to when they would leave. So let me give you an example. Actually, the pregnancy one is a good example. So a woman may have a job and she's already decided that if she gets pregnant, she's going to quit her job and stay at home with her child. Another one, which occurred when we were doing some research with a large bank, was that they were finding that a lot of people were leaving after their 3 or 4 month training period. And when we interviewed these people in focus groups, what we found was that a lot of people said, oh yes, we come in, we take the job, we take the training, we get the $2,000 training bonus, then we quit and we go work for somebody else. And they knew they were going to do that when they took the job in the first place. Then there's another path where something really bad happens. And, you know, in this case, there's a good example that happened right at our own university, in our own business school, where a director of our technology and computer services group found out on a Friday morning that a new supervisor had been placed over him to be his director, and he cleaned out his desk that afternoon and was gone. So he did not search for alternatives. He didn't consider alternatives. He simply had a negative shock, picked up his belongings, and left. The difference between those first two paths that are initiated by a shock is that in path one, they already have a plan.
Okay.
So the shock could be positive. The shock could be negative. They may have said, if I get passed over for promotion, I'm leaving. But the point is that they have a plan already in mind. Whereas in the second path, it's usually a negative shock where they don't necessarily have a plan in mind, but the shock is so negative that they don't go through the search process.
They just quit.
Which was part of the traditional model and explanation for why people leave.
Right. The shock comes and they just quit, like your example. Clean
and they
out
just
the desk
quit.
And go.
Then there's a third path, which is initiated by a shock, but it's very much like the traditional path. So they get a shock. Let's take an alternative job offer. They get an alternative job offer that makes them consider leaving, and then they go into the process of looking for alternatives, comparing the alternative to their current job, choosing the one that they think is best. If the alternative is better, they leave. If their current job is better, they stay. In other words, rather than being initiated by accumulated job dissatisfaction, which was the traditional model, it's initiated by some sort of event, which then makes them consider their job satisfaction and eventually leave.
And that's the fourth path.
That's correct.
Right. Okay. So this is a much more nuanced look at why turnover happens than the traditional way that people think about it. But what does this mean for managers then? Because, you know, managers could do things perhaps to help mitigate dissatisfaction in their employees. But what can managers do, or what's the takeaway for managers from your model?
Well, you know, good question. And we can sort of walk through the paths and see some of the implications. So if you start with the traditional one, as you say, there are many ways in which managers can influence job dissatisfaction or job satisfaction and have an impact on whether that turns out to be a stimulus for or initiating the leaving process. But let's take the first path I talked about, where people come in with a plan. One of the things that we found out in the focus groups, for example, was that people had those kinds of plans. If this event occurs, I'm leaving. So management, in the particular case we're talking about, took away that bonus and attached that bonus to having been there like a year and a half or 18 months. So it was no longer a bonus that someone could pick up after taking 3 months of training. So simply finding out what the plans are that people might have through focus groups and exit interviews can help managers to perhaps deflect or in some way come up with a strategy that will go aside from or get around this particular path that people have already planned to use.
And they can do that then by helping people to modify their plans that their plan does not include quitting their jobs.
You bet. Or give them other plans. I mean, try to institute other plans in their minds that perhaps would be contrary to the plan that they had in place when they first took the job. Now, the second path, the one which is the one where some negative event occurs, we have had some information. You know, companies often will introduce a bonus or some kind of instant sort of payoff for someone who comes in and says, I know so-and-so got an alternative job offer, or I know that so-and-so just got accepted in graduate school. In other words, some way in which events that management could not plan for, and that is couldn't anticipate, but they find out very quickly, they can perhaps go in and act prior to the person precipitously leaving. So that's certainly one strategy. Another strategy is that some events recur. So we heard themes over and over again that people, when there were layoffs, they left. Even though they weren't asked to leave, they left because there'd been layoffs. Or when there were mergers, or when, you know, other kinds of major events happened, we saw an increase in leaving. So management could then anticipate that those were going to be difficult events for some people and try to anticipate by giving people information about what was going to happen, who they could talk to if they had concerns, generally institute mechanisms in the organization where people could find out information and not be as surprised or as shocked or as disturbed by the event when it occurs.
Right. So you take away the impetus to leave the job by taking away the shock itself. People are more prepared for it.
Exactly.
Okay, great. Anything else you'd like to say about the unfolding model?
Well, we did do some studies with it. So I guess I should mention that we did some research with 7 hospitals, 8 grocery stores, a huge national bank, 3 of the large accounting firms. And when we did this research, what we tried to do was simply confirm that given these different paths, could we describe or fit people into those paths once they told us their process of leaving? And the answer to that question was by the 2nd or 3rd study, when we refined our questions and knew how to score and probe the kinds of stories and answers that people got us, we were being able to classify everyone at 90 to 95% accuracy into one of these 4 paths.
Wow, so it really seems to describe almost the entire universe of why people leave their jobs.
Yeah, and I think the area that's most ambiguous now, and there has been research by others, Carl Mertz and Campione and others, where they have tried to elaborate on these reasons, these shocks that people have. So all we had was positive versus negative, expected versus unexpected, in the organization versus outside the organization. They've actually done substantial work on clarifying these kinds of reasons and shocks and events, and have found that they can increase the accuracy of prediction using this greater level of detail.
Thank you for downloading Under New Management, a podcast of the Organizational Behavior Division of the Academy of Management. The OB division has over 5,000 members dedicated to the science and practice of organizational behavior. For more information about the OB division, visit www.obweb.org. For more information about the Academy of Management and its over 17,000 members worldwide, visit www.aomonline.org. Computer support for this podcast is provided by Vu Tran.